news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
RantEMRadio.com is your one-stop shop for wrestling and other media needs. Catch one of our fantastic shows, or all of them, like the Rexplex, Rant and Wrestling, the Wrestling Call-In Show, What Are You Reading, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, The Rant, and of course this fine podcast here. That's RantEMRadio.com. Check us out on our iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn feeds. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, and welcome in to another episode of the Lex Podcast. And this is episode 30. I started doing the Lex Podcast about a year ago. I started doing it around WrestleMania time. In fact, one of my first shows, I believe, was running down the WrestleMania 30 card. And, last year was an interesting start of the year for WWE. The Royal Rumble, 2014 Royal Rumble, didn't go so well. And I'm going to discuss how we've gotten deja vu. A year is a very long time. It's a very, very long time. And I think part of the outrage is, you know, how can we, after so long, see something happen that feels so similar? And so that's why I'm kind of calling this the Deja Vu Podcast right now. This episode is a deja vu episode, because I'm probably going to be saying a lot of the same things I said last year. I don't know, but we're going to talk about the Royal Rumble. We're going to talk about potential for WrestleMania. I'm going to talk a little bit about my trip to WrestleMania this year and how I feel about the situation at hand, knowing that I'll be there. I'm going to try not to repeat myself too much, because I did go on the Royal Rumble post show on rantemradio.com and said quite a bit of stuff there. So I'm going to try not to repeat myself too much, because those of you who listen to that probably don't want to hear all that again. But I do understand that there's probably some people listening to this that didn't listen to that. So keep that in mind. All right, where to start? All right, let's start going into the Royal Rumble. So, a few days beforehand, I posed a question on RantEMRadio.com's Facebook page asking who you thought would win the Royal Rumble, who you wanted to win the Royal Rumble, and who would be your sleeper pick. So, who I thought would win the Royal Rumble was Roman Reigns. And we'll get into that, because I've seen a lot of people say, well, people knew that Roman Reigns was going to win the Royal Rumble anyway, so I don't know why they're upset. We'll get into that. The person who I wanted to win was Daniel Bryan. I think it's pretty obvious why. I'm a huge Daniel Bryan fan, Bryan Danielson fan. If you go back in the archives of The Rant, you'll hear me, you know, championing him from a very early start, but definitely when he was doing that whole NXT stuff. And even further on, when people said he couldn't be a heel, and I was like, you're crazy, because that's probably what he's best at from his work with Ring of Honor, and so on and so forth. So we'll cover that too a little bit later. And the person that I thought would be the sleeper to win would be Bray Wyatt. I know Vince is big on Bray Wyatt. I'm big on Bray Wyatt. I like his character. I think he has a good style in the ring. He's intriguing. I think the guy can pull off promos, segments, whatever you need him to do. So I thought that if Roman and Bryan, who were the favorites, weren't going to win, I thought Bray Wyatt would probably be the choice. And Bray Wyatt actually had a very good showing in the Royal Rumble. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, too. So going into it, pretty much the same. I heard a lot of people say that Dolph Ziggler was who they wanted to win. Me personally, I don't hate Dolph Ziggler. I just don't see it in him. He's a great worker. He sells like a, you know, he oversells, but he sells to the point of, you know, it makes whoever look strong. I think that Ziggler is obviously a bit of an underdog because of his size. So naturally, fans are going to cling to him a little bit. It's the same with Bryan. He's on the smaller side, so fans are kind of seeing him as an underdog. And WWE wants you to see him as the underdog as well. I saw a few people say that maybe Rusev would win for a sleeper pick, and I think that would be true as well. He looked great in the Royal Rumble. It was a big match for him, for his legitimacy, second Royal Rumble. Last year was kind of surprised to see Rusev in the Rumble because he was an NXT guy at the time. And I think that was his first main roster appearance. There was no NXT guys in this Rumble. I guess kind of no NXT guys. It just depends on... There are guys who show up on NXT, but no prominently featured NXT guys in the Royal Rumble. So we'll talk about that too. Okay, so going into the Royal Rumble, why is the Royal Rumble such a big event for WWE? Well, number one, it's the match itself. The Royal Rumble, they really don't do it any other time of the year. It's a once a year event. It's different. It's even my wife was like, is that the one where they throw him over the top rope? Oh, I might watch that with you. She didn't end up watching it with me. She ended up doing something else. But, you know, it's just that the casual fan can get at least a little bit excited for the Royal Rumble. The second reason that the Royal Rumble is such a big event is because it determines one half of the main event at WrestleMania. So there's an event called Fastlane, a pay-per-view called Fastlane, and this pay-per-view has been changed a couple times over. First it was No Way Out, and then it was the Elimination Chamber, and now it's Fastlane. I don't know why they changed it. It's obviously gone down for me. I didn't like the Elimination Chamber being right before WrestleMania myself, because it too many things reset. You know, you have the Royal Rumble, and then Elimination Chamber. While it was a good way for WWE to kind of change up the main event at WrestleMania, it was just such a, you know, there's six people enter, and it's kind of like, well, it doesn't necessarily matter if you didn't win the Royal Rumble, because you still got a chance in the Elimination Chamber for some people. Now, this Fastlane event is going to have a few people defending the titles. I think Rusev is going to defend the United States Championship against John Cena. I don't know if Brock Lesnar is going to defend the WWE Championship. I would probably guess not. And so in that case, if Brock's not going to defend the WWE Championship, then we have Brock winning his match, the triple threat match. He will go to WrestleMania, and it will be him versus whoever wins the Royal Rumble. Now, yes, anything can change between now and then, but with Brock Lesnar being the WWE Champion and keeping him WWE Champion and him only having a certain amount of dates left, he's probably only got like 2 dates left before his contract is up. And believe me, I'm pretty sure it's a per-appearance deal. So if he's only got that much time, he's probably not going to defend the title at Fastlane. Even though Daniel Bryan was stripped of the title because he couldn't defend it in 30 days, and yet now they have a heel champion not defending the title for much longer than 30 days, and That makes no sense at all. Also, it makes no sense that Paul Heyman is calling Brock Lesnar the Undisputed Champion, because he's not, because Bryan never lost the title. So there's obvious, and Bryan still hasn't gotten his rematch, so there's, I mean, obviously they have ways of feeding Bryan into this match, but let's be honest, I love Daniel Bryan, but I don't want to see him win the title in the same fashion he won it last year. And we're going to get to that. I don't want to get too ahead of myself right now. I want to talk about the Rumble a little bit more before we get into that. So, the opening, the dark match, if you will, the pre-show match, it was supposed to be a six-man tag with Cesaro, Tyson Kidd, and Adam Rose versus the New Day of Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, and Big E. But that was changed for some reason. And so it ended up being just a tag team match, Tyson Kidd and Cesaro versus Big E and Kofi Kingston. And the match was okay. The crowd was really into it, which was nice. It showed that Philly was going to have some energy throughout the night, and that ended up turning into kind of negative energy later on. And yeah, the match was okay. It was fine. It was nothing special, you know. It was just kind of get the crowd warmed up, and it did that. And so that was good. Rolling into the event, we had the Ascension versus the New Age Outlaws. And I am not a fan of seeing older tag teams versus newer tag teams. I think the whole thing they did on Raw where the Ascension got crushed, is probably something people are going to remember more than them winning this tag team match at the Royal Rumble. And the tag team match wasn't anything great. It was actually kind of awful. The finish was decent, though, and the Ascension got the win with their finisher, and their finisher was hit nicely. So, but again, I don't know if it did anything for anyone. Moving on, we have, as an airplane flies overhead, we have the WWE Tag Team Championship match. The Usos defending against Mizdow and Miz. And I know I'm in the minority in this one, but I really hate the Mizdow character. I hate that name. I hate the whole gimmick. I know it's over and everything like that, so I'm in the minority there, but I just can't stand it. I hope they break up soon, because I think Damian Sandow can really make it on his own, especially if they want new talent. I think he's someone that could, if given a second shot. I know they kind of, he had momentum at first. They kind of went with him. They kind of ran with him, but they definitely buried him in the same fashion that they buried the Ascension when DX all performed their finisher on him and all that stuff. The Usos retain in this one. A pretty good match with its fair share of shenanigans. But again, this has nothing to write home about, so it was decent. Then we get to the WWE. Actually, there was a Divas match. And again, nothing special. So up until this point, really the show is nothing special. It does feel like it's moving along. The show felt like it went by quickly. But really, I know people said, well, the Royal Rumble was good, and despite the outcome and blah, blah, blah. Well, I guess that's subjective. I mean, I didn't necessarily think it was good. It was decent up until the WWE Championship match, and we'll get into that right now. The WWE Championship was retained by Brock Lesnar as he defeated Seth Rollins and John Cena. And people love this match. I thought it was really good too. I don't think it was as good as maybe people think, as maybe others are saying it is. I think that number one, the WWE has a very, very bad problem of anytime they want to put on a good match, anytime they want to say, okay, we need a really good match, they tend to use an overdose of finishers and kickouts, and they did it with Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, Triple H. It's kind of when they're backed into a corner, and they were back into a corner with this triple threat stipulation, they tend to just go for, you know, big move, cover, kick out. Big move, cover, kick out. Big spot. Someone lays on the outside, so two can wrestle for a bit. You know, big move, kick out. Big move, kick out. Big move, kick out. Other guy who's out on the outside comes in and wins the match. So, I mean, it was a pretty formulaic match. Again, the kickouts, the big moves, that annoyed me. I don't mind it so much. I went back and counted, though. There were 16 different finishing moves, finishing holds, the STFU, the AA, the F5, the curb stomp, whether it be a super kick on a bended knee for Seth Rollins, a Phoenix Splash, a triple power bomb. There were 16 different big moves, and of course only one of those got the three count. But there was also a point in the match where Brock Lesnar no-sold, and when I say no-sold, he took the move, he got right back up, and that was part of the spot, you know, trying to get over how big of a beast Brock Lesnar is. But an AA is supposed to put dudes away, and it must be losing its mustard or something, because it's not putting dudes away anymore. You know, Rock is kicking out of them, and, you know, it's annoying at some point. And you can take a few, and when it gets over that dozen mark, it's kind of the... So if you do the math, you know, 16 finishers divided by three guys, you know, that's like 5.333 or whatever finishers per dude. So, I mean, that's crazy. But again, it had the triple threat deal where someone was there to break up the pin, so it's a little more forgivable. But I think, you know, put the difference as I had with the match aside, it was an exciting match and pretty well performed too. A lot of people say that Seth Rollins had a, you know, a career defining performance. Me, I've seen Seth Rollins as Tyler Black, where Seth Rollins in NXT perform much better than that, but I understand that, you know, it's a different stage, blah blah blah. But it was just funny to me to be like, wow, that Seth Rollins kid really has something. And you know, I knew this, you know, 6 years ago or whatever it was, when I first saw him. It's one of those things where the spotlight was needed for Seth Rollins for some people to see what he's all about. I think he has a decent fan base as it is, and I think he's great as the Weasley heel. I think that's best suited for him. He's definitely not the corny baby face at all. So, you know, props to him for doing that. Cena did his usual thing. You know, people aren't going to give him credit for anything, but he did fine. Brock Lesnar. It's funny because Brock doesn't do a whole lot. He'll German suplex. He'll take a few moves. Throw some more suplexes. F5. Does the whole catch gimmick. But he did really well in this match. He did. Let's just say that in a movie, everybody's got their role. In this match, everybody had their role. Seth Rollins was to be athletic. Brock Lesnar was to get over his strength and his beast-like mentality. And I think maybe they overdid it a bit with Brock, you know, because he not only did he take several finishers that he didn't sell, but he also took a stare to the face. He took going through a table. He got curb stomped on a briefcase. And, you know, so... It just, the match seemed a little overboard, but still, it was the best thing up until that point, and ended up being the best thing of the night, for sure. But Brock retains in a match that people loved, and so the momentum was going pretty well going into the Royal Rumble match because of that match, that WWE title match. Before, everything was just decent, and everybody was accepting of it. But now, here we go, Royal Rumble match. Now, imagine, if you will, Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble, and the place explodes. Everybody's happy. they're walking out, they're high-fiving each other, they're on their Twitter, on their phones, tweeting out how awesome this Royal Rumble event was, and you're getting WWE trending for a good reason. You get people saying, wow, you know, maybe I need to subscribe to the WWE Network now. And you get people subscribing to the network. And then that Monday, I mean, the weather's still going to happen, so they weren't going to get out of that regardless. But you have momentum now for Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar, and you start building that being Bryan being the ultimate underdog, and Paul Heyman's got a lot of respect for Bryan, but let's be honest, this is going to be a killing and so on and so forth. And you just build Bryan being an underdog so that when he wins at WrestleMania, the crowd pops even harder. And now you've got people buying tickets to WrestleMania because Bryan's in the main event and he's an ultimate underdog, and you want to be there to cheer him on and see him win. In the Bay Area, where baseball is a very superstitious sport, okay? So a lot of Giants fans think Daniel Bryan literally had something to do with them winning the World Series this past year and the Yes Movement. And so you have Daniel Bryan in the Bay Area. You know, Bryan was there to cheer on the Giants for them to win a World Series. Now let's return the favor. Let's go buy tickets so we can be there, even if they're in the nosebleed seats, to cheer Daniel Bryan on and make sure that he wins that WWE Championship. And it's going to be a festive time, and Brock's going to be this prize fighter that's lurking around. And it would have been so much money and so much good press for the WWE to do. And at WrestleMania, you have Roman Reigns have a very strong showing in the Royal Rumble, but he gets eliminated by someone respectable. Or you can have it where Reigns gets eliminated by someone he's going to start a feud with going towards WrestleMania. You book Reigns in a WrestleMania match against a veteran who's going to put him over. He's going to look good. He's going to look like John Cena beating the Big Show at WrestleMania 20. He's gonna eventually be the top guy, but not right now because he's not ready. I just don't understand why, even if this was super predictable, doesn't matter. You're still going to make a buttload of money with it. And all you'll have to deal with is people saying, well, WWE's being predictable. That's it. You can get over that. You can't get over the fact that people are canceling their WWE memberships, their WWE Network memberships. I really don't know a good reason why this happened. And I say good reason because I know the reason why it happened. They obviously want to push Roman Reigns. This was a decision that they had made a while back, and they stuck with their decision, despite what the crowd is saying, what people on social media are saying. And now they've got to face the repercussions. They've got to face the fact that the guy they want to build for the future, the guy that they want to put in a WrestleMania match in his first year of being a singles competitor on WWE TV, is now getting booed, is now going to be booed at WrestleMania. He is going to be the heel because of the fans. The fans are going to cheer Brock Lesnar. Roman Reigns is probably going to win the title. And when he does, he's going to get booed. And what kind of WrestleMania moment is that? This just shows how out of touch Vince McMahon is with what makes money. It's not even what the fans want, because you don't have to give the fans what they want all the time. But there are certain things that you just don't cross the line with. You do have to satisfy the fans at some points in time, and this is one of those points. You have to give it to the fans. You have to give them a reason to want to tune in. You have to give them a reason to want to go to the event. So let's talk a little bit about the Royal Rumble, and I'll get back to this. The Royal Rumble was actually going really well up until the whole Daniel Bryan fiasco. Bubba Ray Dudley came in at number 3 and was a huge surprise. It wasn't necessarily a surprise. There had been rumors, but was still, I was so excited to see Bubba Ray Dudley come down the aisle with the camouflage and the taped up glasses and everything. It was fantastic. You know, he doesn't look, to me, he doesn't look as good as he did in TNA, but he still looks a lot better than when he left WWE and went to TNA. So, I mean, in that sense, he looked great. They had some nice spots with him and R-Truth and gave R-Truth a little bit of a rub, and that was great. Later on in the match, they had this kind of spot with the Wyatt family and Bray and Luke and Eric, and I thought that was also pretty good. You know, Eric wasn't in the match technically, but he came out, attacked Curtis Axel. That's another thing people are saying. Well, Curtis Axel was never eliminated. Well, you know what? To be quite honest with you, it didn't matter. But they should have some sort of rule where, and Wade Keller said it on Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast yesterday, there should be some rule where, you know, if you don't get down to the ring in 60 seconds, you're eliminated, you know. Which kind of sucks, I get it, because if you're attacked from behind, nothing you can do about it. But really, I mean, Curtis Axel wasn't going to win anyway. So, basically, you have a few more spots, and then Daniel Bryan comes out, and people are excited, and he's doing his thing, and running through a few of his spots. He does a dive to the outside between the top and the middle rope, so he's not eliminated, but still gets the dive done. It was fantastic. He stayed on the outside for a bit. For DDP to come in and get over, you know, and kind of do his thing, and that was great too. DDP, he basically, you know, for his age, looked great. Obviously, he doesn't look great compared to what he looked like in 1998 or whatever. But he, for his age, he looked great. And not only that, but he dished out a few diamond cutters. I love the diamond cutter. I love the diamond cutter because of the whole you can hit it out of nowhere. The whole you know, I can twist you this way and pop you into the diamond cutter. It's fantastic. And basically, he did a bunch of that. He did a top rope diamond cutter, running diamond cutter. He kind of twisted out of a move and hit a diamond cutter. It was great. I loved it. Then he got eliminated, and Daniel Bryan came back into the ring. And here's where I'm going to start getting a little upset, because Bryan was brought back. He had this very emotional, where he was almost like faking, like he was going to retire. And he said, "No, I'm going to be in the Royal Rumble." Fantastic! People went nuts. You know, he got teary eyed. It was a very heartfelt thing. It was a great moment for Raw. So he comes back to the Royal Rumble. He does a few spots. He lasts a few minutes, and then Rusev throws him over the top rope, but he hangs on. As my cat walks in front of the microphone here, Rusev throws him over the top. He hangs on. Rusev turns around, sees that he's still on the apron, goes to knock him off, and Bryan delivers an elbow. And at this point, I'm thinking, okay, they're just trying to tease that Bryan's going to be out. And then Bray Wyatt runs over after Rusev has been hit, and just kind of does like a, I don't know, some sort of body smash thing, and knocks Bryan off the apron, and Bryan is eliminated. And there was no two ways about it. He was eliminated. He went over the top rope, and he went down onto the floor. There was no, well, technically this happened, so Bryan wasn't eliminated from the Royal Rumble, and him and Roman are going to have a match at Fastlane. No, there was nothing like that. He was just flat out eliminated. He lasted all of 5-6 minutes. And now people are upset. And rightfully so, because he was the fan favorite to win. he wasn't the guy that everybody thought was going to win. Everybody thought Roman Reigns would win, but everybody wanted Daniel Bryan to win. And now he's eliminated. So now the crowd is stunned, and they're shocked, and they're not making much noise at all. And it's taking a moment to register, and then other guys start coming out, and that's when the boos hit. And now they're going to boo pretty much anybody else that comes out, unless it's a big surprise or whatever. And they're going to boo whoever is in the final four, and they're going to boo whoever loses, because that's not who they wanted to win. And it's not just because they wanted Daniel Bryan to win this Royal Rumble, and that's it. This is where people get it wrong. This is where I've seen a lot of people on Facebook and Twitter say, "Oh, cry about it because your favorite guy didn't win." It stems from further back than last year. It stems from Daniel Bryan's storyline with the Authority and being screwed several times over, and then going to Royal Rumble, not winning the Royal Rumble, which sucked because Batista won the Royal Rumble. And at that point, if Bryan didn't win the Royal Rumble, I don't think it would be such a huge deal. But it was more so the fact that Batista won the Rumble. And they wanted anybody but Batista to win the Royal Rumble. And the person that was in there just happened to be Roman Reigns. This is another misconception that I see people talking about. Well, fans wanted Roman Reigns to win the Rumble last year, and now they don't want him to win this year. And you're fickle, and fans are fickle. That's not the case at all. They didn't want Roman Reigns, to win the match because he's Roman Reigns and he's awesome, and they love him, and they want him to be in the main event of WrestleMania. They wanted Roman to win because he wasn't Batista. That's the main reason they wanted him to win. And I'll give it to Roman. I personally don't see what everybody else sees in Roman Reigns. I think he has an okay look to him, but there have been plenty of wrestlers that have an okay look to him. He's not particularly skilled in the ring. He's too green to call matches on his own. He's so inexperienced. His promos lack fluidity. They lack a real heart to them. They lack charisma. They lack pretty much everything. And the fact that he has people writing his stuff for him, and he's probably okay with that, is another thing. But, again, Batista was the reason everybody wanted Reigns to win last year. And because Reigns didn't win, he actually got and built some nice momentum. Certainly momentum that you can use to turn him into a main event guy. But they killed that this year. And now I don't even want to talk about the rest of the Rumble match because it doesn't matter after that. The rest of the Rumble match, even though it doesn't matter, was even worse. Because other fan favorites like Dolph Ziggler, Ziggler lasted less than 3 minutes. Dean Ambrose was eliminated. Even though he tried to team with Roman Reigns and all that, he was still eliminated. You know, all the fan favorites got treated like secondary players. This was Roman Reigns' night, and it backfired on the WWE. And even though it's not fair to Roman Reigns, it backfired on him. And then the cherry on top of the shit sundae, they bring out The Rock to help Roman Reigns win. The match wasn't over yet when The Rock came out. Rusev was still on the outside. Big Show and Kane were picking apart Roman Reigns, and The Rock comes out to help Roman Reigns. Rusev comes in, and Roman pretty much eliminates him like he's nothing. And now The Rock is holding up Roman Reigns' hand and trying to get him over, trying to give him the rub, and people are booing the hell out of Roman Reigns. And, you know, by proxy, The Rock. And The Rock is looking around like, what the hell is going on? Why are they so against Roman Reigns? He must not be paying attention to WWE lately. And Roman, despite the boos, is still trying to soak it up like their cheers, and he's going to WrestleMania and this and that. They got to get their shots. They got to get their pictures and all that. WWE, if you ever needed an example of why their booking is just the absolute worst, this is perfect. They threw out the guy who was the fan favorite to win the Rumble in a very short amount of time in a less than spectacular way, with no real heat on anyone, with no angle coming out of it. But not only did they do that, they had Roman Reigns win, a guy who's not ready, who maybe during the summer months, if you give him a title shot, that would be fine. We're talking about the main event. And I keep saying the main event because I don't see any other match being the main event than the WWE title match. Doesn't look like The Undertaker is going to come back. If he does, I still don't see his match being main event worthy if it's with Daniel Bryan or if it's with Bray Wyatt. I don't see it being worthy if it's with Sting. I don't know. I don't think Undertaker and Sting are in any shape to put on any sort of decent match. I may be wrong about that. That's my feelings on the matter. So I think the WWE Championship, and this is coming from a wrestling fan who believes that the WWE Championship should be the main event. The title should always go on last. And if your title match is not as good as the match before it or the match after it or whatever, maybe you need to reevaluate your booking. So now Roman Reigns is in a really bad spot because the fans are booing him. The fans are being spiteful. Not because Roman Reigns is necessarily bad, but because Roman Reigns isn't ready. Because they know Roman Reigns isn't ready. Because WWE is trying to force a star on us when we're a crowd that likes stars to be built organically. Because that's what we've been told is the best way to do things. You look at Shawn Michaels, a guy who was built organically. Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock. I know people say, well, they tried to push Rocky Maivia. Yeah, but people hated him. And then when he started to be organic, that's when people liked him, and that's when he became a star. Not because WWE was trying to push him, but because he started doing what he does and started bringing out his natural charisma. And let's also remember, they never tried to put Rocky Maivia in the main event at WrestleMania for the WWE Championship. So there's that. You've got Daniel Bryan, who should be in the main event of WrestleMania if you want to make money. He currently does not have a match for WrestleMania lined up. Rumors are saying that WWE wants him and Sheamus at WrestleMania, which, no offense to Sheamus, because I don't not like Sheamus, but you're going to put Daniel Bryan in the ring with a guy who hasn't been here for a very long time, who's been on the shelf. He's going to come back. The match is going to have no heat. It's probably going to be a pretty decent match, but Because I do enjoy the matches with Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. But Bryan's past putting on good matches. Even if it were him and Dolph Ziggler, the match would have no heat. And that's a problem for a guy like Daniel Bryan. Maybe Daniel Bryan 7-8 years ago, that would be fine. But not Daniel Bryan, who's older now, who just got off of surgery, and who needs to make some money before he has to retire, and who's completely the most over guy in the company right now. And the list goes on and on and on to put him in the ring with Sheamus. Even if Bryan were to get a win, to put him in the ring with Sheamus. I don't know any wrestling fan that would even attempt to book that on Extreme Warfare or Total Extreme Wrestling or whatever, or you know, any text-based wrestling simulator. That's just crazy. That's madness. And the way that they can fix this is they can, and again, like I said, my hopes for Daniel Bryan were Royal Rumble win, a WrestleMania win, and just have it be the biggest moment of his career and have it be a feel-good moment, something you can show over and over and over again for years to come. Remember WrestleMania 31? There was no shenanigans. He didn't get screwed. He was just the underdog who fought his way to the top, who won the Royal Rumble despite everybody thinking Roman Reigns would win. A guy who went to WrestleMania and defeated Brock Lesnar, the guy who the year before beat The Undertaker for the first time ever at WrestleMania. It would be such... And you're putting over a guy, Daniel Bryan, who's a good guy, who's not going to, you know, have any DUIs, he's not going to get caught with weed, he's not going to do this and that. And you're putting him over a guy who's about to leave. I just don't understand how it doesn't make sense to Vince McMahon to put this in motion. And now the Royal Rumble has come and gone, and it's too late now. So whatever they do, it's just not going to be the same. It's just not going to be the opportunity that they had before the Royal Rumble started. So, I mean, I don't want to go on too much more with Royal Rumble. That's kind of my feelings on the situation. I checked this text message I just got, and it's from Verizon, so we'll just ignore that. But, so here I am, a Daniel Bryan fan who's going to WrestleMania. This will be my first WrestleMania ever. It's a 4-hour drive for me. It's pretty close. I'll be going down there, and I'll be staying Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I won't be attending, as of right now, as it stands, I will not be attending Raw. That could change, but I highly doubt it. But I'm going down Thursday, I'm going to have a good time, I'm going to, you know, try to get to an access event, the convention deal that they have. I'm not super, you know, worried about if I don't go to access because, you know, I do want to go just to experience it, but I'm not super big on getting autographs or anything like that. So, and the tickets are pretty steep too. It's like $45 to get into access, general admission, just to see the attractions. But you know, I might as well live it up and all that stuff. Friday, I'm going to go to the Ring of Honor show, which I'm so excited about. That's in Redwood City. Yeah, Redwood City. It's about a 30-mile drive, 30-minute drive or so. But it's actually a straight shot, so it's not a bunch of back roads or anything like that. So I'm fine with that. But I got front row for Ring of Honor, which is so awesome because it's been my dream to go to a Ring of Honor show since about 2007. And here it is, 8 years later. And I never thought I would because the last time they came to California or Northern California was 2007. And they had such a miserable experience there with the promoter who was there being really shady and low attendance and this and that. Didn't look like they were ever coming back. They did with this because of WrestleMania, which is awesome. So I'm stoked to be able to sit in the front row and bang the guardrails and just have that very physical style be right there in front of me on display. And that is what I am most excited about for WrestleMania weekend. I'm not going to lie. I'm excited for everything else, but I'm not as excited as I am for going to Ring of Honor. Then Saturday, I do have tickets to the Hall of Fame. I'll be sitting way up there. I don't care for the Hall of Fame. I've said this before on the rant. If you haven't heard, I think the Hall of Fame is BS. It's not a legit Hall of Fame. It's, you know, whoever they want to induct, therefore, you know, it's just kind of like a club. But they don't have writers from the wrestling media vote on who should go in, and they don't induct people just, you know. For instance, Bruno hasn't been inducted yet. Well, why not? Bruno was like one of the biggest stars. Oh, because we have our differences with Bruno. No, you induct the guy regardless. I don't think it's a crime to induct somebody into your Hall of Fame if they don't want to be inducted. I get that that's maybe a respect thing, but at the same time, induct the people who should go in, not whoever you can get to be there or whoever you've made amends with or whatever. That doesn't make any sense. But I know that a lot of you are big fans of the Hall of Fame, so I am grateful that I actually do get to be there because I'm going to enjoy hearing the speeches and just seeing everybody, you know, seeing people that I may not be able to see anywhere else or ever again. So that's going to be cool. And then Sunday is WrestleMania, of course, and I've got tickets that are pretty high up, but I did that by design. I could have sat in the like the middle risers and you know, been happy or whatever, but one of my biggest pet peeves going to wrestling events is people who have signs. I hate signs so much. To me, they aren't worth it. You know, getting your sign on TV is not worth it. For obstructing someone's view. They spent money on the ticket and you can't see anything because the person in front of you has some sort of sign that they think is really cool and really witty and they want to hold up. So I got tickets on not the very top risers, but the second to the top risers. But I got a front row seat for that, which means the only thing that's going to be standing in front of me during the event is a railing. So I'm going to get a clear view of the set, of the ring, of most of the stadium, and it's going to be a great experience, and I can't wait. I'm not going to go to Raw as it is right now just because I went to go get Raw tickets. They were sold out. I forgot to book a hotel for Monday as well. So if I wanted to go to Raw at this point, it might be an extra $300 to $400, and I just don't think it's going to be worth it. I know Raw after WrestleMania is always, you know, kind of a big deal, but I can watch it at home and I'll be fine. That's my plans for WrestleMania right now, and I'm still excited to go to WrestleMania. I said this on the post show. I'm still excited to actually go and experience a weekend and just have a good time, a wrestling-centric week, basically. But at the same time, I'm crushed that I could have had what was, to me, the greatest WrestleMania main event of all time in Brock Lesnar versus Bryan Danielson for the WWE title. And it all made sense, and there was really no reason for Vince and company not to book it. Because it had momentum, it had heat, it had the fans behind it, it would have made a ton of money. And instead, I'm going to be seeing this guy, and I said it, Roman Reigns wasn't even a thing 3 years ago. And he's going to fight Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship. And at this point, it's not fair to take that title match away from Roman Reigns after you've already booked him in this position. And you go to him and say, all right, well, the fans didn't respond like we wanted to. We're going to take that away from you now, and you're going to go do something else. It would kill him even further. So in my opinion, WWE is in a really bad spot right now. The whole cancel WWE hashtag that was trending for, you know, I don't know how long it was, maybe 20 hours or so. That was huge. And maybe there weren't as many cancellations as there were people talking about it, but it's still not good press. You got major outlets covering this, saying that you are not satisfying your fans enough for them to stick with your service. And it's a very bad look for the WWE. But you know what? We'll see how they work themselves out of it. Raw gave no indication that they were going to change their plans. So we'll see on the live SmackDown what happens, and at Fastlane too. But I've been talking for almost an hour straight now. My voice is starting to hurt, or my throat's starting to hurt. So I'm going to wrap this one up. For those of you wondering what happened to me and Lee getting together and doing a anniversary, because actually yesterday was the 3-year anniversary of Ringside Report. We tried to get together actually this past weekend, and I could not get my Skype recording software to work. It was booting up and everything, but it wouldn't record the call. So we're going to have to reschedule that and do that a different time, but we're both interested in doing that still. So keep looking out for that. Thanks to everybody who not only supports, but tunes in to rantemradio.com. All the great shows there, the hosts that put in time away from their families, time away from work, time away from things that they normally like to do other than podcasting, to put on a show for you guys. You know, don't forget to thank them for what they do as well, because the hosts, they put in a lot and they don't get kickbacks, and a lot of the times people are paying out of pocket to do this, and so just kind of tune in and be supportive, and don't cause drama, so on and so forth. If you feel like donating, there's a donate button on rantemradio.com. We would really appreciate it. We have big plans in the future to build Rant EM Radio, and we want the support to be there. So, also, if you need to get a hold of me, you can find me on social media. Twitter is at @V_lexicon. So find me on there and follow me, chat me up, whatever. If you need to get a hold of me, have any questions or comments on this show or any other show, you can email me at lexmarston@gmail.com. That's LexMarston@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening to the show. And until next time, I hope you guys at least found something to enjoy with the Royal Rumble. And we'll definitely have another podcast about wrestling after Fastlane, at least, or maybe soon if plans change. So thanks again for listening. Until next time, see you later, guys.